Are you a rural farming woman, wife or mother, struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never-ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savouring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to Cultivate Contentment. This is Jess, and I'm so glad you're here with me today. This episode is part two of my two-month spring reset series. This series is all focused on helping rural women reset their lives and shift their focus to the things that bring them more peace, balance, and joy. So each week, we'll dive into a new topic that will help you slow down, find moments of contentment, and feel more grounded, despite the chaos around you. So last week, we covered doing a reset. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back, listen to that one first, and it'll help you follow along with the journey we're going on with this series. So today, let's have a little chat about something that I feel a lot of women struggle with: sleep. I don't know about you, but some days I feel like I'm running on fumes. I'm juggling the farm, the kids, and everything else life throws my way. Remember those early days with a newborn? It feels like sleep is a distant memory. And just when you think it's going to get better, along come the toddlers with their wild nap schedules and their nighttime wake-ups, and it can be tough to carve out some quiet time for ourselves, even though my kids are older now, especially with the temptation of scrolling through social media when we should be winding down. I get it. Sometimes it just feels good. Now, ironically, today, we've just kicked into daylight savings mode, so clocks have gone forward an hour, we've lost an hour's sleep, and everyone's feeling the effects today. It's not much, it's an hour, but I don't know why. It just has this major impact. And I know for the next few weeks, we're going to still be just a little bit sluggish and a little bit behind. I don't know if it's just playing with our body clocks or what it is, but those first couple of weeks of daylight savings where you lose the hour, they just feel really hard. So today I want to dive into why we often find it so hard to prioritize sleep, especially after becoming mums. We all know we need sleep, but why is it so hard to get? So let's talk about it. Grab your favorite mug, settle in, let's talk about sleep. Can I ask a favor before we start? If you enjoy this episode, can you give it a share on your socials? The more you share, the more I'm going to reach rural women just like you. Plus, it helps me keep the podcast going so that we can continue to have these conversations. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute to share it. Let's start with sleep. I never struggled with sleep as a kid. Now, I have kids that do struggle with sleep, so it's a little bit strange for me. But as a kid, I didn't. As a teenager or in my early 20s, I could always sleep. I would stay up late. I did shift work. I went out with friends. I went to parties. But I was the queen of sleeping in and having naps and just going with the flow. I never really worried about sleep. I honestly never even thought about how much sleep I was getting. Now, that's very different today. When I set my alarm on my phone and it automatically tells you how many hours of sleep you're going to get, and you sit there and go, oh, maybe I should have gone to bed a little bit earlier. I never struggled with getting up for school in the mornings, but I never got up before 7 a.m. So it's not really that early. Getting up earlier than this, though, was a struggle for me. And I'm still the same today. I have to get up earlier because I had the bright idea to become a dairy farmer's wife. I don't do the 4 a.m. starts very often, But when it's carving time and I'm consistently getting up earlier, say 5 a.m., 6 a.m. to feed calves, I really start to feel it. I'm just not a morning person. So it's all about finding our rhythm of what our bodies want and need. But if you work a job like a dairy farmer where you've got to get up at 4 a.m., it's about adjusting your lifestyle. So when did my relationship with sleep change? Well, this is an easy one to answer. When I became a mum. So let's start with the baby period, because any mum knows that those newborn days, they come with sleep deprivation. Unless you are really lucky and get one of those babies that just sleeps. Now, my best sleeper was my second son, but he was premature. So we had to feed him every 3 hours like clockwork, even if he wasn't awake. Now, for some reason, this actually worked better for my brain because I could set an alarm and know that every 3 hours I was going to get up. And he was a brilliant feeder and he settled well and he did all of the things. And I would be lucky to be up for half an hour max and he would be back in bed again. And I knew then exactly how much sleep I was going to get and when we were going to get up. So maybe this is saying something about my brain or my personality, but that's what worked for me. And I found that really reassuring. Now, if you are one of the mums that didn't get a good sleeper, like my firstborn, you become a mum and your life now revolves around sleep. Those first few weeks and sometimes even months are a blur. I can honestly say that after a not very straightforward birth and then coming home and this sudden thrown in, you've got a baby, this little human that now relies on you, and you've got to feed him and you've got to change him and you've got to get him to sleep and you've got to rock him when he cries, and you are so overwhelmed that honestly, a lot of the time, I didn't know if it was night or day. I just knew that I wanted to be asleep and I wasn't asleep. Now, I know for a lot of farming mums, there isn't that luxury either. I know a lot that a few days postpartum are back out on the farm with the baby in tow and are just getting things done. And I honestly have no idea how they do it, because I know that my body would not take that. I do not do well on lack of sleep. Sleep during this stage is really unpredictable. And that is probably what I struggled with the most as a new mum. I would go for a nap and then all of a sudden the baby would wake up. Or some nights they'd sleep 2 hours and wake up and it was that for the whole night. And then the next night, they might be really nice and give you a 5 hour sleep, but I would be sitting there or lying in bed waiting for them to wake up because my brain was just in this mental state of, nope, as soon as I try to sleep, they're going to wake up. In those baby days, you get told a lot, sleep when the baby sleeps. It is one of the most common sayings you will hear. And really, it just makes you want to scream, especially when you get to your third child and you've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old as well. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll just go have a nap and leave them to do their own thing. So then we move into the toddler stage of life. There is a sleep transition when you get to the toddler stage. They may sleep better at night, but their naps become more inconsistent and there's often nighttime waking as well. And it's really unpredictable. There is now the challenge of the daytime sleeps being dropped. It's one of the most difficult times when toddlers are transitioning between the number of day sleeps they have and then that dreaded moment where they actually drop their last day sleep altogether. They're grumpy because they're not used to being awake for this long, but their body's saying, no, I think I'm okay without this sleep, and they fight it. And often this will lead to early bedtime. And while that may sound great, they're going to bed early, they'll get a good night's sleep. No, it just means they're going to wake up early. I know that there are some kids who will stay up really late and then sleep in the next day. My kids are not those kids. If they go to bed late, they're getting up early. If they go to bed early, they're probably getting up even earlier. And then during this toddler stage, you also go through transitioning into a bed, which presents all new sleep challenges. There are those kids that are quite happy to transition to a bed. There are those who are a little bit scared and a little bit nervous. there are those who scream the house down and say, no, I want my cot back. I am not ready for a bed. Then you also go through the safety phase of them rolling out of bed. And if they have been sleeping in a cot with no blankets, which, you know, is the recommendation these days, they're suddenly in a bed with blankets and they don't know what to do with them. And it creates a whole lot of challenges around sleep. And I know of kids that slept really good as a baby in their cot. And then as soon as you tried to transition them to a bed, everything just went to hell in a handbasket. During this baby and toddler stage, we get what many women experience. It's a form of maternal insomnia, where even when they have the opportunity to sleep, their brains remain alert and they're ready for that next cry or that next interruption. And that's what I was like with my first son, because I never knew how long he was going to sleep for or what time he was going to sleep. And I was a really strict schedule mum. I would put him down for naps at the same time every day, and we had bedtime routines and everything that we could possibly do, but he was just unpredictable. I would literally lie there awake and just be waiting for him to wake up. Then we also have in here that fact of mums who go to do something while the baby's asleep, like have a shower, and then you think you hear the baby crying. The baby's not crying, but in your brain, you think you hear it. So you get out of the shower and you go and check the baby. And then you'll hop back in the shower and you'll hear the baby again. You go, oh no, he's awake. He's still not awake. But maybe on the third time, he probably is, and you've missed out on having that shower again as well. So transitioning to being a mum, sleep is a really big thing. And it creates all these new challenges, not just for your own sleep, but for your baby's sleep. And it creates this almost fixation on sleep. And it's really hard to get through a day and get through a night when you're worrying about it so much. Why does sleep feel so different after having kids? The simple fact is that for most women, sleep after kids is just different. It actually starts in that third trimester when you are struggling to sleep simply due to discomfort. You've got this huge belly. You're rolling around in bed. You've propped yourself up on pillows. You've got back pain. You've got leg pain. You've got heartburn. You need to go to the toilet every 5 minutes. And it all just starts messing with your sleep pattern. For a lot of women, you're actually going into that birthing phase feeling really sleep deprived already. You then have a baby. And with any baby, there's going to be long sleepless nights. So you can actually develop anxiety about sleep. You get up to feed the baby and then you go back to bed and you can't sleep because you're stressing about sleep. I went down a big Google rabbit hole researching this, and there is so much information out there on the actual brain changes post motherhood. When a woman is pregnant, we often hear the term baby brain used when she's vague or forgetful. It's when you can't find your car keys or you forget dates on the calendar, or you're putting things in the cupboard that should be in the fridge and things that should be in the fridge in the cupboard. It's actually proven that the female brain goes through a change when she's pregnant, and that some of these changes are actually permanent. Here's the sciencey side behind it. Scientists have discovered that pregnant women's brains have dramatically reduced volumes of gray matter in the regions of the brain that are associated with processing social information. What this is saying is that these changes help fine-tune and prepare the brain for maternal behavior, such as learning to read the many baby facial expressions and forming a strong attachment with your baby. While pregnant, we might be losing our car keys and we might be putting things in the fridge that should be in the cupboard and so on, but we're getting more equipped to care for our baby. So while it may seem like we're going a little bit crazy, our brain's actually doing some really important work. It's actually wiring our brains to be more alert, even in sleep, which is often why it feels like we never get that really deep, uninterrupted sleep again after having kids. Now, there's also, I know, added in here that mental load that mothers carry. We're constantly thinking about something, whether it's the kids, whether it's family as a whole, our farm tasks, our other responsibilities, and it makes it really hard to sleep because we can't shut our brains off. this just leads to more problems because poor sleep can have such an impact on our mental and emotional state. You know that if you're tired, you're not going to be in a good mood. You're not going to have good decision-making skills. You're going to have low energy. And it's shown that this chronic sleep deprivation is one of the major contributors to burnout and mental health struggles, especially for women that are balancing multiple roles. I went to the doctor in one of the really hard stages of motherhood and just said, I can't cope. I can't do this. She went through a lot of things, but then she came back to sleep and she said, it doesn't matter what else we fix if we don't fix your sleep, because it all starts there. If you aren't getting a good night's sleep, then your whole day is going to be impacted by that. And that is the point we need to start at. So as farming women, we often don't have the option to take a break. And this makes it even more important to prioritize a good night's sleep. So let's finish this off with 5 tips for getting a better night's sleep. None of these are groundbreaking, but it could just simply be putting them in front of you and you acknowledging, yeah, maybe I haven't been doing that one so well, or maybe that tip could help. And this could be the focus of your reset, is getting that good night's sleep. First off is to create a wind down routine. I did this with all of my kids. So why do I not do it with myself? We know that kids like a routine and a pattern, and you follow these steps. In our house, we would do dinner, and then there would be baths. When they were little, there'd be bottles, and then books, and then hugs and bed. It all followed a predictable routine that told your body it's time for sleep. So we know that we need sleep. So why is it so hard for us to put these things in place? Why is it so hard to shut off our brains at the end of the day? Farm life can be unpredictable. So it's important to establish that simple bedtime routine that signals to your body it's time to sleep. Even if your day schedule changes, try to stick to the same wind down routine. It could be something as simple as a cup of tea, 5 minutes of stretching, reading a book, small consistent actions to help your brain associate these activities with sleep. It makes it easier to unwind even after a really long, hectic day. Now, I acknowledge that in farming, life is unpredictable and there are often late nights, early starts. But if you have some really small, simple steps that your bedtime routine could even just be a 5 or 10 minute one, it's going to help when you come in on those nights, because I know I'm like this, where you've been really busy and getting stuff done. You want to come in and go straight to sleep because you know you're so tired and you need it. And then your brain is just buzzing with everything and you can't switch it off. So having even just a small, simple 10-minute routine that signals your brain it's sleep time is going to be really beneficial. Now, here's one that I know I personally struggle with, and that's to limit screen time before bed. It's tempting to scroll through social media or catch up on some emails once the kids are down. But that blue light from your phone can really disrupt your sleep. And social media can be a major distraction, especially for busy mums. After long days on the farm or with the kids or getting all the house jobs done, scrolling through Instagram or Facebook feels like an easy way to unwind. But it often results in us going to bed later than intended, which is really not a good idea. Also, scrolling before bed really impacts on our sleep quality. The blue light from screens can delay sleep and it makes it harder to fall into a really deep, restful sleep. So break this habit. And it could be something like setting a no screen rule after a certain time, or using an app that limits the phone usage in the evenings, or just saying completely, we're not using phones, I'm not scrolling on it, I'm going to do something else like taking a bath or reading a book. Try to unplug at least 30 minutes before bed. Keep your phone in a different room or on silent so you're not tempted to go back and check it. And if you need some downtime, try some quiet tech-free activities. Journaling, as I've said, reading a book, really great one. Though for me, not a great one because I get into the book and then it's, 11 o'clock or midnight and I'm still reading. pick what works for you. 3, maximize your daytime naps, even as a mum. I know that I said I hate that saying of sleep when the baby sleeps, but sometimes it is a really good option. Let's be honest, finding time to nap as a mum is tough, but on particularly exhausting days, even if your kids are napping or having a quiet moment, watching some TV, not a bad thing, take advantage of it. Even if it's only a 20-minute power nap, recharge your batteries without leaving you groggy. I know that if I sleep for longer than this, I just feel like a wreck the rest of the day. And if napping during the day isn't possible, consider just resting your body. Do a short meditation or just lie down to decompress. Get on the floor with the kids and have a cuddle or something. Let them climb all over you. It's going to at least give your body a little bit of rest time. 4, create a sleep-friendly environment. Your bedroom should be your sleep sanctuary. It should not be a room that's going to get your brain thinking. Keep the room dark, keep it cool, keep it quiet. If you live in a noisy area, I know probably not many of us do because we live out of town, but you may have to deal with the early morning traffic on the farm. Consider earplugs or a white noise machine to block out the distractions. I also find that putting my earbuds in and listening to something before bed is actually a really great way to send me to sleep. Even simple changes like using some blockout curtains or investing in some really comfortable bedding can make a big difference to your sleep quality. I know that I have my treadmill in my bedroom and I would really prefer not to. I used to have a desk in my bedroom. Really not a great idea because you're just looking at all that work that needs to be done. So try and make it that your bedroom is just a place of rest. 5, don't fight your natural sleep rhythm. I'll talk about here the concept of revenge bedtime procrastination. I think it's a great one. It's the habit of staying up late to reclaim some personal time after a busy day. And I think a lot of mums can relate to this, where you feel like you've just spent the entire day being there for everyone else and you go, no, I'm taking some time for me. I'm going to binge on Netflix for a few hours. I'm going to scroll on my phone. I'm going to relax. And then you're sacrificing sleep for these things though. Real life can be physically demanding. So listen to your body when it's telling you it's tired. If you're exhausted by 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m., go to bed. Don't wait until you've crossed everything off your to-do list or the right time to sleep. Honor your natural sleep rhythm. You'll wake up more refreshed and be better able to handle the demands of farm life, kids, and everything else. I hope that this episode on sleep has helped you. I know firsthand how hard it is to prioritize sleep with everything on your plate, but even small changes can make a big difference. Now, for this series, I'd love to hear what you're focusing on for your reset. It may be sleep after this episode. Here's how you can join in. Pick one thing that you're going to focus on doing for yourself this week to feel more settled and content. Then share it with me on Instagram. Send me a message, tag me in a post, share it on your stories with the hashtag ResetWithJess. I can't wait to see what you're up to and to cheer you on. I'll be sharing some of these responses in the upcoming episodes and on social media so we can create a little community of rural women all about resetting and supporting each other. Remember, cultivating contentment starts with small, intentional steps. Let's keep growing together by making sleep a priority. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farm Wife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.